Thank you for welcoming me. I feel really privileged to be here. Now then, let me just show you my notes after my son was in my notebook. I mean, he was literally one page away from shredding my notes. I mean, then we would see what it looks like to rely on Holy Spirit, wouldn't we? I mean, maybe that was what God wanted to do. So I've written one word in my book, and I just want to, I guess, just say it, and that's the word 5,000. Does anyone know why I've written the word 5,000 in my book? About five people, six people, maybe 10. I've written the word 5,000 in my book because I am so passionate about the vision for youth work in this town. For the 5,000 youth of Banbury, I am passionate and I'm so up for God transforming those youth in this town. And I don't know if you know, but the vision of this, I think I'm saying this right, just shout if I'm not, is to see the 5,000 youth of this town be totally changed and transformed. And when you see one youth person, one young person in the schools, in the communities, make disciples that make disciples, do you know what you'll see? You'll see a generation that changes, a generation totally changed. Because when a young person goes, I'm going to live for Jesus, not just come to church, but live a radical Jesus-orientated life. When one young person does that, what happens is their family starts to get impacted. And what happens when the family starts to get impacted is that you guys come into play. Now, Shannon and the team and the youth team are going to go after that one young person, but you guys need to be part of this vision. Because when that one young person says, I want to follow Jesus, they have parents, brothers, sisters, young children, older grandparents. The whole church comes into play. I just want to encourage you to get behind that vision because it's exciting. But also to say to you as a church, but to you as a youth team, I'm standing with you for immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. And we sat in that room and said, well, what can we ask for and what can we imagine? And it was for the 5,000 young people of Banbury. But God's like, nah, it's bigger. And what that looks like is 5,000 families. Imagine 5,000 families. I mean, I was talking to Stefan before about this incredible building. You'd have a totally different building problem on your hands if that happened. Like, why not? Dream for it. Like, imagine the impact in this town if God did something incredible like that. Okay. Over. Right. That's preach one. I'm done. So Shannon invited me to come and speak. And at first, I nearly said to Shannon, you are asking the wrong cutting. You should be asking my wife. My wife is an expert at conflict. And we're going to be having a think this morning about emotionally healthy conflict. And she is an expert. She works in human resources, and honestly, I have learned so much from her about how to do conflict well. And I said to her in the car, I was like, I totally should have asked you to do it. She was like, there is no way I am ever preaching. I was like, other people in scripture have said things like that, and we'll see what God does. So we'll just wait and see what God does with that one. But so Beth's really helped me on this, so credit to Beth. I love doing ministry in marriage, it's such a joy. But okay, so I want to start by telling you the two things that we're going after on form this year, and I expect you to tell me word for word what I've just said, because I'm going to keep saying this to Caspian pretty much the whole year. But this hopefully helps us frame a little bit about what I want to draw out from this morning. So, do you know what I'm going to do? Have we got a timer? I'll just pop one on my phone because I'll end up speaking for hours otherwise. Let's go. Cool. So the two things that we're going after this year on Foreman that Caspian will have drilled into him all year is how do we're going to build deep friendship with God. Deep friendship. Because the reality is that most of you here will know that you're forgiven. You'll know you're forgiven. You'll know some of the truth of the cross and who you are in Jesus when you said yes to him and what that means in terms of your relationship with him and with God. But so often, we don't live like we're loved and liked. We don't live like we're loved and liked. We know we're forgiven And there's obviously fruit that comes from that, but we don't live like we're loved and liked by an incredible father and a co-heir, brother with Christ. That's what scripture says. So we're going to go after deep friendship with God this year. And when we understand that we're in deep covenant friendship and relationship with God, when we truly understand that and truly believe that, what happens is the world around us changes. Because if we fully believed who God says he was, and therefore who God says we are, so I'll say that again. If we fully believed who God said he was and fully believed who he said we were, we would all look totally like Jesus. So we all live and operate in so much unbelief. And that's one of the main things that underpins conflict. And we'll draw that out is unbelief. And the second thing that we're going after this year with Caspian is going to be radical obedience. Radical obedience. Because when we begin to understand who God is, therefore we understand who we are, we understand what we get to do. It's not what we have to do, it's what we get to do. The invitation to see the kingdom come from Jesus is incredible. It's an adventure, it's exciting. If you're not excited about the Jesus-centered transformational life, then you need a bigger picture of who Jesus is. And if you do, start there. Begin to see him in scripture. Begin to see the invitation that he brings. Because radical obedience with him will change your life, and it will change the life of those people around you. So as we look at conflict, we're going to think what it means to be in deep friendship with God, but also be radically obedient. Now, thank you for giving me this topic. And the obvious place, I hope most of you will know, but we're going to have a look at Matthew 18, 15 to 17. So if you've got a Bible, kind of have it open. We'll be sort of resting in there. We've got it behind us if you haven't. But scripture is incredible. Scripture is incredible. And so often I read scripture and I'm so encouraged and I'm so encouraged and inspired. Sorry, could someone just pass me my water under the chair there in the glass? Thank you. Thanks, Stefan. I'm so encouraged and inspired. But the challenge this morning, the scripture this morning is so challenging. So is anyone up for being challenged by the words of Jesus? Okay, great. A third of the room. I'm preaching to you guys. But it's such a challenging passage, this. And you can't read this and not do something about the words that Jesus says. So let's read these words together. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his faults. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others with you, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Wow. Challenging words from Jesus this morning. Challenging words. I mean, even now, as you read those words, I hope that Holy Spirit is showing you areas of unbelief that you live in regarding these words from Jesus. So we're going to have a think about how Jesus shows us to do really healthy conflict really well. And the end goal is to leave this place going, I've got some practical things that I know how to live and walk in moving forward if conflict comes my way. But first of all, we're going to have a little think about how to not do conflict well so that we can see what it looks like to do conflict really well. Now, I think if you don't engage in conflict, you end up having shallow relationships that don't have deep enough roots to sustain even the smallest wind. So if you're not prepared to go through conflict with someone, with a brother, sister, whoever that is, family member, when the wind comes over that relationship or when there's some kind of struggle, it's just going to fall away. And you will lose multiple relationships because there's not roots that go down deep. Not roots that have sought out and worked hard to get through the tough ground and dig down deep roots so that when the wind does come, it's strong and stable. And that relationship is one of love to each other. I don't know about you, but I know I can name multiple moments of conflict that I've had with friends and other people that have meant that my relationship is far stronger with those people that I've had conflict with. Even in the car, Beth and I were like this. We had this moment of conflict, but the reality is that Beth and I dealing with that conflict means that we get to grow in deeper relationship with each other. The invitation is into depth, to love one another really well. Okay. There's this this author called Ken Sandy. That's S-A-N-D-E. And he's written an amazing book called The Peacemaker. And it's just great regarding conflict and some of this stuff that we'll be looking at today. And he has three negative ways that the world or we can all engage in conflict. And the first one is that we avoid conflict. We avoid conflict. So we deny that it's even there. So someone brings something that says, you've hurt me, or this, I see this in your life that doesn't quite add up, or there's just something that does it that niggles. What we do is we just avoid it. We deny that it's there. We just ignore the challenge or ignore the conflict that has happened, and what happens is bitterness grows. Bitterness grows. If we don't engage with it, the root of bitterness grows. Not strong roots that grow down, fruit that is going to rot that relationship. And these are often people that become passive aggressive, because then they use humor or language that means that they're trying to have the conflict but not actually addressing it, not genuinely deep down addressing it. They're denying that conflict's there or trying to avoid the conflict. So that's the first one, avoiding conflict. The next one is flight. Knowing that the conflict's there. So someone brings conflict and you acknowledge that conflict is there, but then running away from it. So for example, in the church, it's a great example. We see this often, is you have a conflict with your pastoral team or someone in the church, you have a conflict. And rather than dealing with that conflict with that person, you just leave the church. Like, how many times have we seen that? Rather than saying, actually, what does a Jesus-centered life look like to have a healthy relationship and actually deal with my brokenness? Because the reality is that so often conflict is rooted in my brokenness, my unacknowledgement of sin. And there's something incredibly attractive about someone that says, do you know what? I want to be teachable. I want people to call out when they see something in my life that doesn't look like Jesus. And one of the things that we help the form interns to do by the end of the year is to say, so for example, there was someone that left form 2 years ago, came to me this summer and said, Josh, what do you see in my life that doesn't look like Jesus? Do any of you ask that question? What would it look like to live a radical Jesus-focused life with regards to conflict? So do you fly away? Do you run away? But the reality is that if you're someone that tries to fly away from conflict and removes yourself from that person or that situation, what happens is you end up meeting that same conflict in the new place, the new church, the new job, the new home, the new friendship group. Why? Because you're sinful. You're sinful. We'll come on to the good news in a minute. And the last one, and this is generally less people. So this is how not to do conflict. The last one is aggressor. So these are people that are like, yes, I love conflict. I'm going after it, but not in a good way. They're the people that can generally be a little bit judgy. I mean, sometimes in a church context, They're the people that know their scriptures, but use them in an ungodly way. So they manipulate the scripture to fit their situation or to bring challenge which isn't actually rooted in love. And this can cause real disruption amongst relationships. It wounds people. They want justice at any cost, but not justice for themselves. They want mercy for themselves, but justice for other people. So that's how not to do conflict. Ignore those things. Don't do those things. And one of the starting points that I want to challenge us with conflict is to absorb? How do you say that word? Absorb. Absorb conflict. Because the thing is, look at the life of Jesus. He took it all on his shoulders. At no point did Jesus say, yeah, but I've lived a totally pure life. He just said, no, I'll take it. I'll take the sin of the world. I'll take the conflict. I'll take the thing that you're speaking over me that isn't true. Mocked, despised. He absorbed it. Are you someone that can overlook offense easily? Just and turn quickly to Proverbs 19:11. Says this great verse. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. That's not God's glory because it's a small h in scripture. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So when you choose to absorb a conflict and overlook an offense that's been caused to you or someone has sinned against you or hurt you, to be like, do you know what? That's God. Like, I'm just going to choose to let that go. Now, that can't happen all the time, and we do need to address that. And Jesus gives us the incredible, an incredible map to help us walk this through with one another. I just want to frame this in Ephesians 4, where Paul says, speaking the truth in love, to grow together to the person of Christ, to the fullness of Christ. An incredible picture in Ephesians 4 that Paul paints. But the truth is that Jesus, in his ministry, says to his disciples, by this, they will know that you are my disciples, by how you love one another. And then Paul says, by speaking the truth in love, you will grow to the person of Christ. So if you want to be a disciple who makes disciples, if you want to be someone that looks like the person of Christ, who starts to change their orientation towards him, to live like him, the pattern and the rhythm and the ways of your life begin to look like Jesus. The way that you do conflict looks like Jesus. If you want to do that, frame it within love. How you love one another will mark this church. Will you choose to operate in love with one another when conflict comes? Now, conflict is so important. I mean, an example with Caleb. Caleb loves it when I'm doing DIY around the house. And he's like, fix, fix, fix. That's what he thinks we're doing. I mean, we are fixing stuff most of the time because our house is falling apart. So he's like, fix, daddy, fix, daddy. And he dives into the toolbox and he generally pulls out the hacksaw and the drill are like his go-to things. He loves the small hacksaw and he loves the drill with the sharpest drill bit in. He's like, I'm ready. And then I'm like, you're not ready. I'm going to take the drill bit off and then I take the saw bit out of the hacksaw. And he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. But choosing to have a moment of conflict where he wants something and I'm saying, no, this isn't for your best. He doesn't understand it. So conflict can be really positive and for a really good end. Now, sometimes people don't understand it in the moment, but let's hope that if we frame this with love, that they will see that and then grow to the person of Christ. Do we love people enough to risk the relationship? To help someone move from unbelief to belief. Unbelief to belief. So we've got this pattern in Matthew 18. Doing life in a real way means living life alongside someone. And Jesus says it here. He says, you go to the person. Sorry, I'm a mover. Jesus frames this in the pattern of relationship. So you can't bring conflict to someone unless you have relationship with them. If you are doing that, then stop. Because you need to check your heart first. Always with this, check your heart first. Jesus says a few chapters earlier in chapter 7, he says, check your eye first. You've got a massive plank. Check yourself. Check your heart first before you bring that conflict, before you call someone out in their sin or challenge them in something that has hurt you or that you've seen in their lives. Check your own self first. But then, if you see something, Jesus says, go to that person. Go to that person. Don't hold on to the hurt. Don't let that just be left, like we thought about earlier. Don't just leave it to take bitterness in your heart. Deal with it. Don't be scared about what will happen. Have in your head, I love this person enough to want to help them move towards the person of Jesus. And if you checked your heart first, then go to that person. Jesus says, if that person doesn't hear you, what do you do next? One or two of you go. One or two of you. And I love this. So often we get this wrong. So often it ends up being one or ten of us. You know? Like what happens is you say, oh, this person's hurt me. And then the gossip just happens, doesn't it? And then that person says, oh, yeah, and they hurt me. And then you build this kind of, this case where in the end half of the church can't, you know, are annoyed with someone because they didn't put money in the offering that week. Like, it's ridiculous. No, one or two. And it was so interesting that you asked me to do this because I have been going through this huge conflict the past month. It's just been huge. So God just does these things, doesn't he? Basically, in our team, there's just been a lot of conflict that's been unsaid or unheard, basically. We've done some conflict with each other, but each other haven't heard that conflict, and we've then needed to bring other people in. And it's been a real challenge. There's a guy on my team who I've just really struggled with how he speaks to his wife when he's in meetings with us. So sometimes he will say, no, not now, not now. And it just feels a little bit dismissive. And I've spoken to him and said this and haven't felt like he's heard me. So I've said to one other person, look, I've observed this, and this, my friend has said, I've seen that too. Should we go and talk to him? So we've gone to meet him, and we've said, look, this is what we observe. It just feels uncomfortable, and we just, please help us understand what's going on. We want this to work. You know, we're in meetings together, and we're in team together. We want her to be really honored and feel like she belongs as well. And then he heard it. With two of us, he heard it. So we didn't have to go to the next stage, take it to the church, because it was dealt with there. And he apologized to his wife, and she then, it was brilliant. It was great. Conflict done really well. It was really good. But it wasn't 10 of us. It was just two of us. Don't build up a case against someone. Do it in a way that's going to love and honor that person. But if they don't hear you, if they don't hear you, go to maybe their community leader, your pastoral team. Who are the next people? Not to come publicly before the whole church. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. I think he's drawing on, what does it look like to do it the next level into community? And this is really challenging. This is really challenging. How do you do that in a wider context where someone is continuing to choose to not move into belief in who Jesus is? We shouldn't have to get to this stage. Because if we're hearing conflict through the right lens, that someone loves me and wants my best and wants to help me move into the person of Jesus, we should all be going, oh yeah, you're so right. You're so right. I'm sorry I didn't see that. Like, imagine if we had that culture, if you had this culture in this church where we were all very teachable. We all wanted to be like the person of Jesus. So when you brought a conflict, you were like, do you know what? I can't see it, but you're probably right. Give me a second. Like, give me a week and then let's talk again. Can you imagine the different culture that that would create? How quickly you would grow. How quickly you would deal with hurt and unbelief and things that niggle, bitterness, things that would not take root. It would just be quick. Short accounts. Relationship that then grows and has depth. Don't let it get to the point where it needs to be brought to the church. But if it does, do it in a really wise way. Seek the counsel of your leaders. Do it in a way that is framed in love for that person. And that's probably the point where someone is choosing to be disobedient to God's word. An obvious thing that they're continuing in a pattern of life. And then this last one, I mean, please don't let it get to this point. This feels really challenging. The whole part of the journey before, Jesus is challenging the disciples' thinking about tax collectors and Gentiles. The whole time, why? Because he's hanging out with prostitutes. He's having dinner with the tax collectors. And the disciples are like, their minds are kind of being blown regarding these people. But then he says, if it gets to that point, then you need to have a level that they're cut out and they're cut off. Basically, the Gentiles and the tax collectors were kind of removed from community. They weren't engaged with. They were looked down upon. And Jesus saying this is the example that they were outside of the kingdom of God. If someone continues to live in sin and continues to choose to not be challenged, continues to be disobedient, continues to not take the challenge of the church, the challenge of his brother and sister, then thinking about how that person is removed from some of that sphere, the sphere that you're in, for the good of the body. Now, I don't think, I mean, you may get there. It may be that that is the case, but let's hope that we don't get to that point. But communicate. Always communicate well, communicate clearly with that person. We see this in your life, you're continuing to choose this. Communicate that to the church if it gets to that point. We've asked this person to stop being a member of this church, or you know, we're going to continue to try and love them as they come in, but they're not going to be part of our meetings, or whatever you decide as a leadership team. They think that their authority and their choices are more important than those of God and Scripture. And that's quite an extreme journey if you get to that point. But what would it look like if we lived in this way that Jesus invites us to live? Giving people permission to look into your life requires vulnerability. Are you willing to be vulnerable? One of my favorite authors, Brené Brown, says that vulnerability and thanksgiving, two things, are the gateway to joy. I want to live in joy. And that requires me being exposed. And we know that one of the first things that happens in the garden when we see conflict in the Garden of Eden, they hide. Straight away they hide. And straight away they pass the blame. So when conflict comes, don't hide and don't pass the blame. Why? Because bitterness and animosity and space between you and that person will come in. Like God in the garden. God did not push them out of the garden at that moment. When we see that interaction, when they hide, he had not removed them from the garden. They hid from him. God wants you to do conflict well. To love one another really well. So that the rest of Banbury look at this church and go, wow, they hold short accounts. They're quick to forgive. Your neighbors and people around you, not being offended. You know, your neighbor cuts your hedge down lower than you thought it should be. I'm not going to be offended. Just let that roll off.
And actually in time, a pattern of that kind of behavior, a pattern of that living, paints a picture of love. It paints a picture of love. And this is hugely challenging this morning. And there's three quick things that I just want to finish on now. And that's firstly, you and God. Are there any areas of conflict between you and God? Anything that you can identify now that is unbelief, wrong thinking about who God is? Your Father who likes you and loves you, he delights in you. Yes, you're forgiven, but also invited into relationship. Do you fully believe that? So what's the one thing between you and God that maybe you need to deal with this morning? The next thing is others and you. Has anyone brought conflict to you recently or challenged you on something that you haven't received well? That you haven't said, do you know what? You're probably right. I'm going to examine my heart with Holy Spirit and ask others that I trust around me to see and speak into my life on that thing. Thank you for bringing that. Thank you. Imagine we said thank you for having conflict. It's another level of culture, isn't it? So others and you, have you? Do you need to check your heart when others have brought something to you? And finally, do you need to bring something to someone else? Is there something that you have left unsaid? Something that has niggled and you're unable to let go of the offense? Do you need to bring that to the person, maybe with another person, or maybe it's at the stage where it needs to draw in some of the team, the leadership team? You and God, others and you, you and others. I hope that makes sense. Why don't we just take a minute now to ask Holy Spirit if any of those things he wants to challenge us on. So the unbelief between you and God, the challenge that others have brought to you, and maybe there's something he wants you to challenge others in, and then I'll close in prayer. Father, would we be quick to forgive? Would we be open to challenge? Father, would we be people who long to do relationship well, to love one another really well? Father, would we be radically obedient? Would you identify in us any unbelief, any areas of brokenness that you want us to deal with? Amen. Just this sense that maybe there's a couple of people that have been really hurt from conflict in the past, that God wants to heal that wound this morning. So if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. So just come and find me at the front, and we'll just pray together that God heals that. I think we're going to worship to finish.